Wing, everybody knows where Wing is at, right? W-I-N-G, never, okay. It's about 30 miles north of Mahomet, which is where we lived for 29 years, 15 houses, about 20-some people in our little township. And I mowed every vacant lot. I trimmed around street signs. I trimmed around telephone poles just to keep the little town looking nice. But we lived there. We would go back there for our Christmas. And there was one Christmas that we got back there, and we got all the presents out. They're under the tree, and it's time for the kids to open up presents. And they look at us and say, do we have to open up presents? They were sick of it already. They had already had three locations where they were opening up presents, so we made sure that that never happened again. We want them to be having the most fun at our house. But you know, there's so many things on our minds during this time of the year. Fun things, lasting things, we're making memories, sharing love with one another. But we hear the phrase, reason for the season. Anybody ever heard reason for the season? And, you know, this phrase, it's used a lot of times in the context, it can be used in the context of department stores in all their holiday decorations, the Christmas family activities, and everything that's available for families to come and do. They have the egg slog. It's eggnog, but I just can't. I have never developed a taste for eggnog. I'm sure there's somebody here, so I call it egg slog. We have cookies, and then you have the ugly sweater contest. I might qualify today, I don't know. But I saw this one thing, it was hilarious. Ugly sweater contest, this guy, and maybe you've seen this too, he hung a mirror around his neck. And so that when you looked at his sweater, the ugly sweater contest, it was your reflection in the mirror on his sweater. Okay, that might have been a little bit cruel, maybe a little bit inappropriate, but I thought it was hilarious. But during this time of Christmas, you know, we're buying those gifts where the kids, they'll open up the gifts and they'll play with it for 10 minutes and then play with the box. See, many kids just play with the box. But all these things, they're fun, and I partake in a lot of these things. I think they're fun. We had Christmas with our grandkids yesterday up in Bourbonnais, and we had a great time doing it, and just a bunch of games and food and just all kinds of different things that we were doing up there. But I know all these things are fun. But as believers in Jesus, the reason for the season, and it's a reminder that Christmas is a time to celebrate the birth of Jesus and the hope and the love and the salvation that he brings. You know, it's a time to reflect on the spiritual significance of the gift that God gave to humanity, which was his son. In Luke chapter 2, in verse 11, it says, the Savior, this is the New Living Translation, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And long before that announcement, it was prophesied many times in the Old Testament that Jesus would come. And in Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to look at verses 6 and 7. And in verse 6 it says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven, of heaven's armies, will make this happen. We look at this time of year as Jesus, as a baby, lying in a manger. But we've also got to look at him as Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He's not a baby. He's not in the manger anymore. Matter of fact, he's not on the cross anymore. He's risen. But this is a time when we get to come at this time of year. Now, some people say, well, Jesus wasn't born this time of year. I don't care. He was born. He came, and he came for us. He was sent here for us. You know, it's sad that sometimes in the Christian world that we have to be reminded sometimes what this time of year is all about. Because if we do get caught up in the all those things I mentioned before, the department stores. Of course, we don't go to the department store anymore. When Carrie and I Christmas shop, we each grab a spot on the couch and we grab the iPad. Christmas has been delivered within days. But we often have to be reminded that, you know, and there's nothing wrong with the gifts. There's nothing wrong with the parties unless it becomes the predominant thing. You know, more than 2,000 years ago, a plan was being played out, was being carried out that brought us to this place here today. Have you ever thought about that? That plan that was carried out almost over 2,000 years ago put you in those seats here today. A baby puts you in these seats here today. But it was a baby who was called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Almighty God, brought you here today. The Son of God sent as a human baby got us here today. God had a great plan of love for each and every one of us. God had a plan for His Son to redeem us, to regain possession of us. And it came at a cost. It came at a cost of His Son. So this morning, we're going to take a little bit of a pause, and we're going to focus our time and our energies on the gift that was sent to earth for us. We're going to take time to read through the birth of Jesus, the account of the birth of Jesus. Now, some people would call it the Christmas story. But we're going to read through that this morning. And we'll have a couple of interruptions along the way. By way of music, I think that sometimes music helps kind of solidify some of the things that somebody may be talking about. Music has what they call a hook, kind of draws you in. But I just think, though, that it's good to focus as the body of Christ on the real reason for the season before all the festivities set in. Because the festivities are going to set in. There's going to be things that you're going to go, that you're going to do, and you're going to eat way too much food. Don't lie. Don't say I'm going to watch my diet, because you're not going to watch your diet. You're going to eat way too much food. Of course, I didn't eat too much food yesterday. but you know, God sent an angel to approach a teenage girl He had chosen to talk to her about the role in the restoration of mankind.
I'll never forget the day the orders were given. I'm a soldier in the army of God, so it's my entire existence. For centuries I've fought in the spiritual realm against evil authorities and the powers of hell. I've seen kings anointed. I've seen kingdoms fall. I held back lions from Daniel. I hid David from Saul. So imagine my joy when I dutifully read, "For this next assignment, you'll be beautiful feet." See, 9 months before that, Jesus left heaven for earth. And since then, all of heaven awaited His birth. We watched a scared teenager carry our king, and a carpenter step up when given a dream. We watched the contractions get closer together. We saw as they knocked on doors, begging for shelter. We all knew that God's plan for all mankind's redemption would start in a stable in the midst of a census. But when that baby boy cried, we just stood there in awe. That's the King of the universe, laying in straw. So when God said, "Go tell the shepherds on the outskirts of town," we ripped open the sky and shined heaven around. The sheep and the shepherds were scared out of their minds. They fell to their knees and covered their eyes. We said, "Don't be scared," but that's probably real hard to hear when the sky opens up and God's angels appear. Those shepherds sprinted to Bethlehem, left the sheep out to graze. The Messiah was born. The world's about to change. That's the thing. Since then, it seems like so much has happened. I've been back in battle. I've seen plenty of action. But I still go back to what I saw on that evening. people hearing about Jesus and running to meet him.
In Luke, starting with chapter 1, verse 26, it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." Then the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she's conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Mary responded, "Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he took notice of this lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made his promise to the ancestors, to Abraham, and to his children forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her home. Now in Matthew chapter 1, Joseph is brought into the picture. Joseph was also a part of God's plan to raise up the Son of God, to raise up the Wonderful Counselor, to raise up the Prince of Peace, to raise up the Almighty God. Joseph was a part of that plan. Joseph would teach him natural things, things that would serve him well as time went on. And they would love him as a mother and a father would love a child. And like any child, I believe Jesus needed to experience that love from his mother and father. in Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 18. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Do you blame him? Not many guys would be willing to take on a woman who was carrying the child of another man. In the culture of that time, it was a bad deal. Back in the first century of Israel, a woman who became pregnant out of wedlock faced severe consequences and was subject to stoning by death. This is the mother of our Savior, our wonderful counselor, our mighty God. She was subject, potentially, of being stoned to death. Joseph, Mary's betrothed, could have exposed Mary's sin and witnessed her execution. However, an angel intervened, and Joseph accepted the angel's message, saving Mary and the unborn child. Verse 20. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. And they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And then Joseph named him Jesus. Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 1. It says, at the time of the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken by Quirinius, governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who is now expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in their fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the glory, Lord's glory, surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds' story were astonished But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel even before he was conceived. Now, you know, there's no one in the world that loves like a mother. When our kids call the house looking for somebody who's a little bit more compassionate, they call their mother. But the mother, she loves us in spite of any heartaches, whatever it may be. She longs for her child. She desires only the best for their lives. She is selfless in giving. She is worthy of honor, our mothers. When a child's born, they cut the umbilical cord. Yet there's a cord that can never be cut between a mother and her child. It's the cord of a mother's heart that's connected to her children. She loves them until her last breath. Yep, there's one who loves greater than a mother. In John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." As much as a mother loves her child, and as much as a child is connected to her mother, there's not too many mothers on this earth that would sacrifice their child for fill in the blank. But God gave, knowing that his Son would die. And this is the gift that we celebrate here today, the gift of Jesus. The life that became human in order to give us eternal life. I don't want this to be a solemn, sad. This actually is a celebration. We'll go to our families this week, during the week. We'll go to our families, and you know what? There's going to be a lot of laughter. It's going to be way too loud. You will eat way too much. You will open up presents. All these things are going to happen wherever it is that you go. It's a celebration. We celebrate. It was way too loud at my daughter's house yesterday. So loud I wanted to go home. No. But it was way loud at their house yesterday. But it was people coming together who loved one another, who enjoyed being together with one another. It was a celebration. So that God sending his Son into the world for each and every one of us, it's a celebration. It's okay to say, yes, Jesus came, made a way for me to be redeemed back to the Father, to be bought back to the Father, for the Father to take possession of me once again. He came for that reason. He came for that purpose. That's the reason for this season. It's okay to open presents. I got some yesterday that I really like. It's okay to have cookies. It's okay to have all those things. I participated in those things yesterday. But it's important to remember the reason for the season and celebrate that. Some of you may have a tradition. We had one when I was growing up at my house. Christmas Eve, We had, anybody ever have the family Bible that's that thick and it's about this big sitting on the coffee table? Yeah, we had one of those. But every Christmas Eve, Mom and Dad would crack that Bible open and we'd get a chance to read the Christmas account or the Christmas story out of the Bible. That was the first thing that we did before any of the other festivities. We wanted to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We wanted to be thankful for the birth of Jesus. We wanted to be thankful for the reason for the season. And we were. And then after that, we tore presents up. We got in trouble one year because we were not supposed to do this, but me and my sister, we came downstairs early, unwrapped the presents, and then tried to rewrap the presents. It didn't fly very well. We were found out. But it's important that we never forget the meaning of this time of year. With all the shopping, with all the presents, with all the parties, with all the family gatherings, there's fun to be had. But in 1 John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1, 2, and 14. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And the Word became flesh. God became flesh. God became flesh and was born in a manger. When we read that verse, a lot of times we don't think about that, how the Word became flesh. We don't think about, oh, well, God just showed up in the flesh. No, He showed up in the flesh crying like a baby, messing His diaper, needing somebody to feed Him. He showed up like that. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, came to live amongst us, and He's still with us today. He said that He would never leave us. He said that He would never forsake us. He would always be with us. We don't ever have to wonder if He's walked away from us because He's true to His Word. All of that from the very beginning of time when it was prophesied and then when He actually came and He was born and He lived and He died and He rose again, He made this all possible. It was God made that all possible for us to be where we are here today. So we don't want to forget the reason for the season. Don't feel guilty that you're tearing presents up. Don't feel guilty that you're doing all these festivities because they're fun. If I know that some people are around here at home, I may crash a few parties myself. But let us remember the reason for the season. And as we go throughout this coming year, throughout this coming year, not just Christmas, but throughout this coming year, let's keep the reason for the season in our hearts and in our minds at all times. And be thankful.
Family hiding from the storm, found no place at the keeper's door. It was for this a child was born, to save a world so cold and hollow. A sleeping town, they did not know that lying in had no home has come to heal our sorrows. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? Shepherds counting sheep at night, do not fear the glory light. You are precious in His sight. God has come to raise the lowly. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are. It may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory. Make room in your heart. Make room in your heart. The promise tight, every wrong will be made right. The road is straight, the burden's light, for in His hands He holds tomorrow. Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write His story? You can come as you are, but it may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams. Make room in your heart.
As I was preparing for this week, it's like, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I just want you to remind them. I'm like, okay, we'll do that. Threw a couple of songs in there, things like that. But it's a reminder that God gave you the greatest gift of all. He's given this world. For God so loved the world. He didn't pick certain people. He loves mankind. He loved this world so much that He gave His Son. He gave this world the greatest gift it could imagine. We received that gift. The ones in this room here today, I'm looking around here and I'm looking and pretty much everybody in this room that I can tell is born again. We received that gift from Him. And so now we can celebrate that. And so when Christmas comes around, we can celebrate the fact that Jesus came, Jesus lived, Jesus died, and we, man, redeemed us so we can spend eternity with Him. So when we leave here today, and we're going to, when you go about your Christmas celebrations, have a great time. Laugh, joke, play pranks, eat way too much food, open gifts, do all those things. But remember the reason for this season. It's that God sent His Son to this earth for each and every one of us. And rejoice in that. Father, we just thank You for this time that we've had here this morning. We thank You that you are a God who loved us. You had a plan from the beginning, Father, that You would send Your Son to call us back to You, to make a way for us to return to You. And that gift was a gift that's available to all of us. And not just a gift that's available to receive Him as our Savior, Jesus as our Savior, but it's a gift that keeps on giving. Father, You've made a way that in every area of our lives, when we're struggling, that gift that You sent to this earth redeems us from those things also. Helps us through the struggles of this life. You said, Your word says when Jesus was here, He was tempted just like we were, but yet without sin. So He understands the things that we go through. And that gift that You sent to this earth helps us through those things too. Makes us wash clean, standing righteous before You once again. So, Father, as we leave this place today, we know that we don't leave You here, but that You go with us. And Your Holy Spirit's with us, leading and guiding us, speaking things, showing us things to come. We never have to wonder what it is that we're going to say in any given situation. You give us the words. Your Holy Spirit reminds us of those things. So, Father, as we leave here and everyone goes about their Christmas activities, Father, I pray that You keep them safe to and from, Your angels always around them, guarding and protecting them, and bring them back here to us, safe and sound. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, Carrie and I, we'd like to wish you guys all a very Merry Christmas and have great time with your family and your friends and things like that. And we look forward to seeing you back here on the first of the year. Actually, it'll be before the first of the year, but we look forward to seeing you back. And we look forward to sharing some things with you that God's going to do with LifePoint. We get everybody back from their travelings and things like that. We've got some work to do in this community and the surrounding communities. And want to see those things done this year. So God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you next Sunday.